Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis Tana Rabbanan. That's parallel to Tosus Velo Mishalem Elapalga. The Tosefta here in Masechta Bava Kama says Shor Chiresh Shota V'Katan Shen Nogach Rabbi Yaakov Mishalem Chatzi Nezek. Now, if you read this brisa literally, it sounds like Rabbi Yaakov actually paid Chatzi Nezek out of pocket. So the Gemara asks right away, Rabbi Yaakov, my avidita, I mean, what did he do that he deserves to pay Chatzi Nezek? And the Mefarshim explained that there was some sort of a havamina here, that maybe Bezdin is the Aviam Shal Yisomim, Rabbi Yaakov was the Avbezdin, maybe he therefore takes over some responsibility to pay this compensation, this Hezek. Ella, but no, says the Gemara, Ema, you should add one word to the Brisa, Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Mishalim Chatzi Nezek. Add the word Omer, this is just the Horah, the Psak of Rabbi Yaakov, not that he paid out of pocket. The Gemara now tries to analyze this Brisa, B'mai Askinon. There are two possibilities here that the Gemara is going to investigate, and both are very difficult. That is a shor tam and a shor muot, as far as this chiyuv of chatzi nezek. And the Gemara says as follows: E bitam. If we're talking about the case of a shor tam, the kuli alma nami chatzi nezek hu demishalim. Even had it been the shor of a ben das, you would pay chatzi nezek. Why do you have to tell me that here in this particular case of cheresh shot v'katan you pay chatzi nezek? The ibishar muad is e diavdle shmira. If it was a case of a shor muad, then if the shor was given its proper, its due protection, what we call Shmir Ma'ula, the fine protection, and yet the shor went out somehow ba'ones and it damaged, klal lo boishlum, it doesn't, there should be no tashlumi at all, this is onus, this is not, there is no liability. Ve'ida lo avdi le shmira, if we're talking about a shor muad and there was no shmira provided, is kule nezek boishlume, why would Rabbi Yaakov say that the payment here is only chatzi nezek, it should be nezek sholem. Now, it would seem at this point that if we're talking about a shor muad and it belongs to a katan, for example, how does that shor become a muad? And there are a number of possibilities. Either the shor was inherited from the father as a muad, or possibly Bezdin appoints an apotropis for the process of Ha'oda, and they accept Edim, that the shor was no Gech on three occasions. In any event, if we're talking about a Mu'ad Mimonafshach, either there should be no payment whatsoever if the Shmira was a perfect Shmira, or alternatively, there should be a Tashlumin of Nezek Sholem for any Mu'ad, if there was no proper Shmira. Amar Rava, Li olam bimuot, v'achabamai askinon, di avde shmira pchusa, v'lo avde shmira ma'ula. V'rabbi Meir Savala, k'rabbi Yehuda, di omar tzadtamus bimkoma omedes, v'savala k'rabbi Yehuda, di omar muad sagile Bishmira Pchusa, Vesavala Kirabonin the Amri, Mamidin Apotropis, Latam, Ligvos, Migufo. So Rav establishes that Rav Yaakov here in this Brisa is predicated on three principles that overlap and three Chidushim. Number one, Rav Yaakov holds that as far as a Shor Hamuad is concerned, all you need is Shmir Pchusa. Whereas as far as a shor tam is concerned, you need a shmira ma'ula. And this is the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, later on in Daf Mem Hayamid Beis, deriving from Sukkim, it's a bit counterintuitive, to say the least, that the level of Shmira demanded by the Torah for a Shar Tam is even greater than that of a Shar Mu'at. Maybe because the Torah wants you to guarantee that the Shar Tam will not become a Shar Mu'at, or maybe because in the case of a Shar Mu'at, the responsibility, the liability, to some extent shifts as far as protecting the Shar to the Nizak, and he also shares the responsibility to offer, to supply some level of Shmir. But in any event, let's call it Gzeres HaKosuv, and that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita, the mechanics of which, if he supplied a Shmir Pchusa, he's covered his grounds as far as the Chiv of Shar Mu'ad is concerned. But here we introduce the second principle, which is also attributed to Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yaakov embraces it, of Tzad Tamas Bimkomo Medes, which means that when a Shar Tam becomes a Shar Mu'ad, it now has two identities. It's not that the Shem Mu'ad replaces and completely undermines the Shem Tam. No, inherently, lurking in the shadows in this Shar Mu'ad is Shar Tam. The dinim of Shar Tam still remain in place as far as 0 to 50% of the Tashlumin is concerned, meaning up to, but not beyond, Chatzi Nezek. To carry you from Chatzi Nezek all the way to Nezek Sholem, that's a Shar Mu'at. And now, since he supplied Shmir Pchusa, he's already exempted himself from the increment, the extra Chiyuv Tashlumin from Shar Tam to Shar Mu'ad, from Chatzi Nezek to Nezek Sholem, that extra 50% he doesn't have to pay. And since Rabbi Yaakov accepts Rabbi Yehuda Shita, that as far as Mu'ad is concerned, all you need is Shmir Pchusa, therefore the Tzad Mu'adus does not generate any Chiyuv Tashlumin. On the other hand, the Shmir Pchusa, which covers him as far as the Tzad Mu'adus, above 50%, does not in any way exempt him from Tashlumen of Shar Tam, of the first Chatzi Nezek, because a Shar Tam requires Shmira Me'ua. And Sovra Loka Rabbanan, the Amri Ma'amidin Apotropos L'Tam Ligvos Migufo, that's again Sumchus, and therefore the Apotropos will serve for the Ha'oda to transfer, to upgrade the Shar, the status of the Shar, from that of a Tam to that of a Mu'ad. And now, B'toras Mu'ad, the Chiddush here is that since he supplied a Shmir Pchusa, when I say he, let's assume the Apotropos supplied a Shmir Pchusa, that's enough to remove the Chiyuv of, again, from Chatzi Nezek up to Nezek Sholem as a Mu'ad, because Sagi Le B'Shmir Pchusa, but that level of Shmir Pchusa is not sufficient for a Shar Tam, and therefore since Tzad Tamus B'Mkobo Medes on that first 50%, he's got to pay. And that's the sort of pshara, the compromise here, that surprised us, that according to Rabbi Yaakov, in the case of a Shar Mu'ad, nevertheless, he pays Chatzi Nezek. And Rav insists that we're talking about a Shar Mu'ad, because as we said in the Kasha here, had it been a Shar Tam, then Pshita Maikamashmal, and of course the Shar Tam pays Chatzi Nezek. The answer is, it's a Shar Mu'ad, and nevertheless, it only pays Chatzi Nezek of Tamus, because of the Shmir Pchusa, which was not sufficient. The Pnei Yoshua points out that there's a subtle chiddush here, which Rabbi Yaakov formulates, that could be missed. And that is to suggest that in the case of a cherishot of a katan, when the shmira is imposed upon the apotropos as the agent who accepted that job appointed by Beis Din, one might have thought that instead of imposing upon him the shmira me'ula of the tzad tamus, we should exonerate him and lower the level, the demands of Shmir, to that of a Shmir Pchusa, because otherwise, if you don't do so, if you're going to demand of the Apotropos the level of Shmir Me'ula of the Tzad Tamus, maybe he'll drop out, or he won't accept the position. So the Chiddush is, no, we can impose a Chiyuv of Shmir Me'ula on the Apotropos, vis-a-vis the Tzad Tamus. Amalei Abaye, Abaye says to Rava, Velo Pligi, is it true? Can we accept your premise, Rava, that Rav Yaakov and Rav Yehuda do not disagree, but rather Rav Yaakov is interpreting Rav Yehuda and certainly accepted all the principles of Rav Yehuda? Vasanya, we have a brisa that explicitly records a machlokus between the Tanakama, between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yaakov. Shol shalcheri shotu v'katan shenogach Rav Yehuda mechayev v'Rav Yaakov omer chatzi nezek huda mishalem. We see explicitly that there's machlokus here between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yaakov. How can you tell me that Rav Yaakov accepts Rav Yehuda and Omar Rava? Rava responds, Rava Bar Ula responds by saying that yes, Rav Yaakov accepts Rav Yehuda, and what looks to you in the Braisa as if the Braisa is presenting, formulating a machlokas, that's not a machlokas. Mada machayev Rav Yehuda, pirish Rav Yaakov. The word machayev that's used here by Rav Yehuda is very ambiguous, and that's where Rav Yaakov came in to explain Rav Yehuda's meaning, what was intention when he said machayev. Says Rav Yaakov, Rav Yehuda meant to say that he's chayev chatzi nezek. And as Rava had explained, because he supplied shmira pchusa, not shmira meula, and he's chayev for the tzad tamus. And the reason why there's a chiyuv is because ma'midim apotropos letam ligvos migufo, and on the tzad tamus we're going to be gove migufo shel shor, through the din of bezin appointing an apotropos. Obviously, Abaye, who asked this kasha, L'Abaye D'Omar Pligi, he was of the opinion that there's machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yaakov. V'mai Pligi, what was the nature of the machlokas? Rashi here, Dibra Masel Bishlema, points out that it's impossible to assume that we're talking about a case of a shartam, because how could Rabbi Yehuda say in such a case that Yechayv Nezek Sholem to argue with Rabbi Yaakov's Chatzi Nezek? And if, on the other hand, we're dealing with a shartam, how could Rabbi Yehuda be mechazik nezek sholem? And if we're dealing with a sharmuad, then assuming that Rabbi Yehuda l'shitaso finds shmir p'chusa sufficient, then assuming there was a Shmir P'chusa, there should have been a Nezek Sholem. If there was no Shmir at all, then Rabbi Yaakov would also agree that he pays Nezek Sholem. So we're really in a kind of a bind here to come up with a Hezbe for this Machlokes, according to Abaye, between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yaakov. Amalecha, here's how Abaye will explain this Machlokes. Hocha v'maya skinon b'muad. And if we're talking about a Sharmuad, then it's hard to understand why, assuming he supplied a Shmir P'chusa, Rabbi Yehuda would still say he's Chayev Nezek Sholem. And the answer is, V'lo Natre Klal. Obviously, had he supplied a Shmir P'chusa, that would be enough for Rabbi Yehuda to say that he's Potur, at least from the Tzad Mu'ad Shavo. But in this case, there was no Shmir supplied whatsoever. It was total let go. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says you pay Nezek Sholem. And that Nezek Sholem is for both the Tzad Tamus, which requires Shmir Me'ula, and also for the Tzad Mu'adus, where Shmir P'chusa would be sufficient, but here, even Shmir P'chusa was lacking. So even though Ma'amidim Apotropos L'Tam Ligvos Migufo, but nevertheless the payment here has to be Nezek Sholem. There was no Shmir whatsoever. And now we have to explain that Rabbi Yaakov, who says Yechayev Nezek, Chatzi Nezek, and only Chatzi Nezek, where does that come in? And the answer is going to be, Sovalak Rabbi Yehuda Bechada, Upolgale Bechada, Sovalak Rabbi Yehuda Bechada, Di Rabbi Yehuda Sovar Tzad Tamas Mkomo Medes, Upolgale Bechada, Di Rabbi Yehuda Sovar Amidim Lem Apetropos Letam, Ligvos Miguf, Rabbi Yaakov Sovar, Ein Mamidim, Velo Meshalim El Apalga Demuot. When it comes to Mu'adus, which is collectible min aliyah, then we certainly undoubtedly have the principle of Mamidim Lahem Apotropis. The issue, and this was Machlokas Tanoim that we mentioned yesterday, about whether there's Mamidim is only in a Shartam, which is Mishtalem Migufo. And here's where Rabbi Yaakov disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. He goes with Rabbi Yehuda the whole way, except for the last principle, namely Mamidim. Rabbi Yehuda insists that Mamidim, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, since Tzad Tamus Bimkomo Medes, you're going to have to pay, in this case, Nezek Sholem. Rabbi Yaakov, on the other hand, says, Ein Mamidim. And therefore, what you're left with is only the Tzad Mu'adus. The payment here is going to be because there was no Shmira Klal, and the Tzad Mu'adus is Chayev. On the Tzad Tamus, there's no Chiyuv, because we never collect from the Yesomim, or from the Apotropos to collect from the Yesomim, with regard to the Chatzi Nezek of Atam. And that's based on the fact that Chatzi Nezek of Atam is Migufo Mishalim. And in fact, Sumchus was quoted in the Brisa earlier in this daf, that Harehu B'Tamuso Atcha Idubo B'Fnei Bailim. And the Gemara explained that Sumchus, when he said Harehu B'Tamuso, he meant B'Tmimuso D'Lo Mechasrinan Lei, that the Shor remains in its complete state, that we can't collect from its goof. And the only din of Mamidim Lema Petropis, as we saw in our Mishnah, is simply to accept Edus to establish the Shor as a Shor Mu'ad. And the language of the Gemara above was, just to review, Alma Ein Mamidim Apotropos Latam Ligvos Migufo. And that Shita is now reflected here in the understanding of Abaye of Rabbi Yaakov. And that's where Rabbi Yaakov holds that the Chiyuv here could only be the Chiyuv of Palga de Mu'ad, meaning the increment, the increase from Chatzi Nezek of Tam, which there is no collection for in the case of Yisomim, but up to the above the 50% line, up to the 100% line, that half is Mu'adus, and since there was no Shmira Klal, therefore that half is collectible. Amalei Rav Acha Bar Abaye Liravina Bishleim El Abaye Diomar Pligi Shapir. We understand, according to Abaye, why we needed to interpret the first Braisa as referring to a Shor Mu'ad. Because again, if it was a Shor Tam, we would have to explain in Rabbi Yaakov that Mamidim Apotropis Latam Ligvos Migufo. And that's impossible because according to Abaye, the second Braisa presents a machlokes about whether Mamidim Apotropos Latam Ligvos Migufo or Ein Mamidim. Rabbi Yaakov holds Ein Mamidim, therefore you pay Chatzi Nezek. So therefore, the first Braisa would have to be in a Shor Mu'ad situation, because in a Shor Tam, we would not understand Rabbi Yaakov's opinion, because he holds Ein Mamidim. Ela L'Rava Di Omar Lo Pligi, but according to Rava, who says that there's no machlokas between Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda, whereas Rabbi Yaakov, as we said before, is only interpreting Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore we have to understand that he pays Chatzi Nezek for the Tzad Tamus because of Mamidim Apotropos Latam Ligvos Migufo is Ademukile Bimuad. Why do we have to interpret the Brisa as referring to a Mu'ad and the Chatzi Nezek is the Tzad Tamus Nukma Bitam? We can say that the Brisa is talking about a Shor Tam. Keep in mind that originally when the Gemara presented that first brisa that we started with the Shia today, that says Shar Chere Shotev Katan Shenogar Rav Yaakov Mishalim or Rav Yaakov Omer Mishalim Chatzin Nezek, we rejected the possibility that that brisa was talking about a Shar Muad, a Shar Tam, because Pshita. It doesn't have anything to do with the fact, and there's no special chiddush here in Cheresh Shotev Katan, as a general rule, for a short time, you pay Chatzin Nezek. Now the Gemara is saying that, you know what, according to Abaye, that makes a lot of sense. We have to reject the possibility that we're talking about a short time, because in the case of a short time, there would be no collection at all in the case of Yisomim. Because Abai is of the opinion that according to Rabbi Yaakov, Ein ma'amidim apotropis l'tam ligvos migufa. But according to Rava, that Rabbi Yaakov embraced Rabbi Yehuda Shita straight across the board, even as far as ma'amidim lem apotropis, then why not go back to the scoreboard here and interpret the Bryce as referring to a shartam? You ask me the kasha pshita. It's not pshita at all, because we're talking about a case of shmira. We want to know if he provided the proper shmira for a shor tam. Here we start daf mem amud aleph, and miman efshach we have a way of interpreting this brisa in the case of a shor tam. E l'Rabbi Yehuda di avile shmir pchusa. Rabbi Yehuda jacks up the requirement of Shmira for a Shartam to that of a Shmira Ma'ula, Lo Avid La Shmira Ma'ula, and therefore you pay for a Shartam, because again we're assuming Ma'amidim Lem Apotropis. That's Rav's opinion in his peacemaking between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yaakov. The E, Rabbi Lozab ben Yaakov, there in the Sugyan Daf Mem He, who holds that for a Shartam, it suffices to supply a shmira pchusa. Then we could say that this Bryce is talking about a case, the lo avid le shmira klal, and that's why he pays chatzin ezek for shartam. Tesanya, now the Gemara makes reference to the Bryce later on, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov omer echad tam v'echad muad, sheshamim shmira pchusa, pturin. And to the finale of this kasha of Rav Acha bar Abaye is, if you'll ask, well, now that the Bryce is talking about a short time, there's no chiddush. The chiddush is great. Hakamash Malan, Rav Yaakov wants to teach us the Ma'amidim Lem Apotropis L'tam Ligvos Migufo, that there's a chiyuv here of short time, either because the shmira that was provided was only a shmira p'chusa according to Rabbi Yehuda, or there was no shmira whatsoever according to Rabbi Elazar or Eliezer ben Yaakov. And the chiddush is that we can collect migufo against sumchus and against that shita, because Rabbi Yaakov holds, like Rabbi Yehuda, that ma'amidim lem apotropis l'tam ligvos migufo. So just to summarize the Gemara's kasha now, the kasha of Rav Acha bar Abaye, if I accept Rav's shita, namely that Rabbi Yaakov accepted Rabbi Yehuda straight across the board, then the chiddush here of the Braisa, even if it's talking about a shartam, is a great chiddush that he pays chatzin nezek because ma'amidim lem apotropis. Amalei, so when this question was raised, Ravina responded to Rav Acha bar Abaye by saying the following. Yes, it's true that according to Rava, we could interpret the Braisa as Shar Tam, but nevertheless, there's an extra Chiddush in the case of a Shar Muad. Hachi Kamar. This is what Rava meant to say. Chada de Ispe Tarte Taima. It's preferable to establish the Braisa as referring to a Muad, because there are many Chidushim. Meaning, number one, that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yaakov accepts Rabbi Yehuda as far as Muad, that it's enough to have Shmir Pchusa, and therefore there's no Chiyu for the Muadus part of this Shara Muad. Number two, that nevertheless the Tzad Tamus Bimkomo Medes, and therefore since Shmira Pchusa is not sufficient for the Tam, therefore he pays the Chatzin Ezek of a Tam. And of course, the Chiddush of Mamidim Apotropos Litam Ligvos Migufo. We can't collect from the Yisomim from a Shartam Migufo. But if Rava would have interpreted this price as referring to Tam, there would only be one Chiddush, and that would be that Mamidim Apotropos Litam. We wouldn't know the din of Tzad Tamus Bim Kobo medicine. We wouldn't have known the din that for a Tam, all you need, I'm sorry, for a Muad, all you need is Shmira Pchusa. Now Ravina goes back to respond to the question, the objection that Abai raised against Rava from the Brisa that explicitly formulates a machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yaakov as to whether or not you pay Chatzi Nezek or Nezek Shalom. Ravina Omar, yes, we're going to accept the interpretation of Rava of the original Brisa, which means that we're talking about a Shor Muad, and Rabbi Yaakov accepts Rabbi Yehuda that the Shmir Pchusa of a Shor Muad is insufficient. I'm sorry, that although the Shmir Pchusa of a Shor Muad is sufficient, but nevertheless, it's insufficient as far as the Tzad Tamus, which is Bimkoma Omedes, and Mamidim Lemat Petropis. And that which the second Brisa presents as a machlokas between Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda, that machlokas is not in any of the above issues, A, B, and C, that we outline, but rather in a different issue whatsoever, Rishus Mishani Kabeinayu. The machlokas that's recorded in this Brisa, the second Brisa, between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yaakov, can be pinpointed, can be reduced to the issue of Mishana Rishus, of Rishus Mishan. Kigon, what's the case? The Havi Muad, the Shor itself, when it was in the possession of a Cherishot of Kon, was a Muad, and it was under the supervision of the Apotropos. Vinispakech HaCherish Nishtapa Shot of Higdal Katan. Now, the Cherishot of Katan became Bar Das, and the proper Shmira was not provided by the Cherishot of Katan that now are no longer Cherishot of Katan. Rabbi Yehuda Savar Reu B'Cheskoso. At this point, they have to pay Nezek Shalim because it was already established to be a Shor Muad. Rabbi Yaakov Savar Rishus Mishana. That once there's a new Rishus, the old Din and the old Shem Muad is Paka. And now the Shor, which is being transferred from the Rishus of the Apotropos to the Rishus of the Bailim, goes back to its original state of being a Shor Tam, and therefore you only pay Chatzi Nezek. Because Rabbi Yehuda rejects this principle of Rishus Mishana, therefore the status of the Shor is maintained, nothing changes, it's a Shor Muad, you pay Nezek Shalem. And that's the end of this sugya. Now we start a Brisa, which addresses a different dimension of Apotropos, with regard to the Shor of Yisomim, and that's the question of Kofar, if the Shor kills an Adam. Tanu Rabbanan, Apotropsim Mishalmim Min Ha'Aliyah V'Ein Mishalmin Kofar. Although, says the Brisa, the Apotropos will pay for the Nezek of Shor Muad Min Ha'Aliyah, nevertheless, they are exempt from paying kofar. And the Gemara tries to explain why. Mantana kufra kapar v'yasme lav b'nei kapar ninu. This Tana that exempts the Apotropos from tashlume kofar accepts the opinion that the essence and the nature of kofar is a kapara. And the kapara applies exclusively to the Baal HaShor, that the owner of the Shor killed a human being by not watching the Shor. And here in the case of Yisomim, where there's no Baal HaShor to be chayov, then there's no tashlume kofar whatsoever. Since the Yisomim do not require any kapara, Al Katan is a lab bardas, he's part of the mitzvahs. Therefore, the Apotropos himself also doesn't have to pay kofar, even though logically you could have said that, okay, the katan is not chayiv kofar because he's not chayiv in shmira, and you can't call him negligent and posheh, but what about the apotropos himself? Perhaps he should be chayiv to pay kofar because he didn't guard the shor as he was meant to be. And the Rishonim say, in the name of the Ra'ah, that the Gemara says above, that we don't impose chiyuvim on the apotropos to pay for the nizkei ashor, because at the end of the day, why would the apotropos agree to take on this job and sign up as the agent of Beis Din and accept upon himself these chiyuvim? And therefore, they said that the apotropos is allowed to collect from the yisomim, but here he won't be able to collect from the yisomim because the kofar and the kapara is not applicable to the yisomim. So therefore we have to leave out the tashlumin of the apotropos. Omar Rav Chisda, if you want to identify who is the author of this braisa, who is the Tana, who in fact embraces the shita that kufra kapara, Rabbi Shmuel ben Oshel, Rabbi Yochanan Broki, Disanya, we have a braisa interpreting the pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim in Kofar Yushas Olav. It says they have a nasan pidyon nafsho, and that means Dmei Nizak. That's the Tanakama of Rabbi Yishmael. He seems to hold that Kufra Mamona, it's a Tashlume Nezek to replace the victim. Rabbi Yishmael ben Oshel bar Broka Omer Dmei Mazik. We evaluate on the market how much the Baal HaShor, the Baal HaMazik, is worth, and the Tashlum of the Kofar is exactly that evaluation, meaning that really it's Gambol of Yumas. Really, the life of the Baal HaShor should be taken, but he has the ability through this Din Shamayim, instead of actually dying, to pay a pigeon. There's no pigeon for a mazid, but there's a pigeon for Kofar. And that means that the kofar is a kapara. He really should be dying. We should take his life, but bidei shamayim, they allowed him as a different kind of misa to pay for his life. That's called Dmei Mazik. My lav baka miflegi, and this is the way Rav Chisda understands the machlokas, the Rabbanan Savri, kufra mamonahu, Rabbi Shmuel ben Oshel bar Broka, savar kufra kapara. This is a sugya we know from the beginning of Makis, that according to the Tanakhama, this braisa kofar is mamon, and therefore you pay the dmei nizak to the yorshim, of course, like any dini mominos, you always pay for the nizak. And Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion that no, kofar is a kapara for the Baal HaShor. The Baal HaShor is responsible for the death of a human being. He should really be he should be on the chopping board, so to speak. His life should be taken, but he could be poda his life and redeem it by paying kofar as a kapara. Omar Rav Papa, Rav Papa responds to Rav Chisda, he says, no, kuli alma, kufra kapara, even the Rabbanan who say Dmei Nizak, also agree that kofar is essentially a kapara. And there'll be various nafkaminas if we define it as a kapara. But they're arguing about something else, and that is how to shots up. How much money do you need for this kapara? And the question is, do we say Rabbanan Savri Bidin Nizak Shaiminan? The way that we do this Shuma, and we evaluate exactly what the price tag that has to be paid as this kapara, do we use the Nizak? But again, essentially, it is a kapara. Rabbi Yishmael broke so far bit of mazik shaminan, that this kapara has to be reflected in the value of the mazik. Now, Rabbi Yishmael's understanding is really intuitive. If kufra is kapara, we understand very well that the dmei miskapara has to be paid. That's the dmei amazik. The Gemara is now going to ask immediately, my time of the Rabbanan is saying something that's counterintuitive. Why should we evaluate and determine the price of kapara by the Dmei Nizak? And the Gemara is going to say that that's derived, the Rabbanan derived that from Yalfusus. My time of the Rabbanan, Nemra Shisa Lamata, in the case of Sharmua that killed an Adam, the Torah says him Kofar Yushas, the Nemra Shisa Lamala. In the previous parasha of Shar Hamuad Shehemis Le'inyan Dmei Vlados, it says the Kasha Yoshis Olav Malahalon, in the case of Dmei Vlados B'dinizak is Afkan B'dinizak. The Ritva has a Kasha, it would seem that this Yalfusa of the Chachomim is Xereshova. And Xereshova is one of the 13 Midos which requires Halacha L'Moshe Misinei Kabbalah, that we can equate two letters, or two, I should say, two words in the Torah. And the Ritva asks, there's a principle of Ein Xereshova L'Mechza. And what that means is that Kol Dover Shenita Lilmod Miparsha Zu Lishnia Limedim, whatever we could derive from this parsha to the other, we derive. We don't stop midway. And therefore, l'chora, we should derive from this Xereshova that just like in the case of the Dmei Vlados, the Tashem is called Mammon and it's not Kapora, so too the Tashem of Kofar is Mammon and not Kapora. And the very essence of this payment is Mammon and not Kapora. And the Ritva answers at the beginning of Masechta Makis that since the Pasuk says Pidyon Nafsho, the Chachomim derived that it's a Kofar for the Nefesh of the Mazik. And in this case, we don't apply the principle of Ein Xereshova L'Mechza because the Pasuk is explicit. In any event, Rabbi Shmuel ben Oshel, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brokosov, ben Nosan Pidyon Nafsho, the Torah says that this is a Pidyon Nafsho, and the word Nafsho indicates it's Nafsho Shel Mazik. Rabbona, what do they do with the word nafsho? In pidyon nafsho ksiv, the purpose and the objective of this payment is to be poda's nefesh miu. But if you ask me how much he has to pay, put a price tag on it. Kishan minon b'dinizak shay minon, and that's based on the gzereshava of shisa that the shum itself has to be the shivui, the value of the dmei nizak. But once he pays that, he pays it as a pidyon for his nefesh. Now the Gemara begins a slightly different branch of this sugya of kofar, of kofrin yisomim. Mishabech le Rava le Rav Nachman bitter Rav Acha bar Yaakov de Adam Gadol, who Rava sang the praises of Rav Nachman to Rav Acha bar Yaakov. What a Gadol b'Torah he is. Rav Nachman about Rav Yaakov bar Yaakov, what a gadol Rav Yaakov bar Yaakov is. Amalei, so Rav Nachman was so curious, he turns to Rav and he says, "Shayova yivodcha avieu liyod." When he comes to your hands, when he shows up, please bring him to me. Ki osel gabei, when Rav Acha came to Rav, he got sent to Rav Nachman, and he came in front of Rav Nachman. Amalei, Rav Nachman turns to Rav Acha and he says, "Boy minei milsa, ask me something. Let's see if you can stump me." Boy minei, Rav Acha asked Rav Nachman, "Shor shel shnei shutfim, ketzad mishalmim kofar? If a shor is owned by two partners, how do they pay kofar if the animal owned by these partners kills a person? If the animal hurts someone, damages someone, that was a milsa of the pshita that each one pays half of the damage because the Torah wants the Nizak to be paid up and to be compensated for his loss. So there's no need for the Nizak to receive any sort of profit from the deal. But in the case of Kofar, which is a Kapara, shall we say that each one of the Shutfim needs a Kapara? And a Kapara can only be achieved with the entire Kofar and not with Khatzi Kofar. The Gemara now analyzes, or Rav Acha analyzes his suffix. He says, "Mishalim hai kofar, there is a svar to say that each one should pay kofar because each one is guilty. But then the Torah says, kofar echad omrachman of lo shnei kofrim. We don't find that the Torah imposed a twofold kofar. But on the other hand, what's your other alternative is high chatzi kofar, let them each pay half a kofar. That's also equally difficult. Kofar shalem, Amrachmana. The Torah wants a complete kofar, and nothing less than a complete vlog, chatzi kofer. And it seems that Rav Nachman was actually stumped by this question. We don't find a response. He's just getting a headache from the severity and the complexity of the question. Tosis points out, if two people together on Mechal Shabbos, which is a case of Zeine Yochel v'Zeine Yochel, they're both Chai v'Chatos, because the Kohen is going to Gavoah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no objection for each one to bring a Chatos, but in the case of Tashlumin that go to the Yorshei HaNizak, the Torah never expected that the Nizak, or the Yorshei HaNizak, should make a profit on it. And when the Gemara says Kofer Sholem Omar Achmana, which sounds like the Gemara is quoting a Pasuk, it's not really a Pasuk the Mepharshim say, but rather a Svara. The Svara is that a Kapara should certainly be a complete Kapara, a Kapara Shlema, not a partial Kapara. Now, Adi Yosef Ekoma Ayinba, you know, Rav Nachman is getting a little bit of a headache here from the complexity of this question. Now Rav Acha hits him with another question. Omar Le, I'll ask you a different question. This is based on a Mishnah in Masechta Erechin, Daf Chaf Aleph. The Mishnah says, Chai Ve Erechin Memashkin and Osan. If a person takes upon himself Erki Olai, meaning I will contribute to Hegdesh, my Erech, or if he says Erech Ploni Olai, he has to give the Beis HaMikdash the Erech, and the Gizbar has a right to Memashkin Osan, to actually take, against the will of the Noder, a Mashkon, to guarantee, to make sure that he will pay up his pledge. And the reason for that is that this pledge is a little different than the case of Karbonos. The Mishnah says, Chai ve chatos v'shomos ein memashkin osan. And the reason for that is that Erchin is not a matter of kapora. It's just a matter of fulfilling your pledge. In the case of Karbonos, the purpose and the goal of the Karbon is a kapora, and we have no suspicion, we're not nervous about the fact that the Baal Hachiv will not come up and fulfill his obligation. He's a chote, he needs a karbon, we can rely on him to bring his karbon. What's the suffix? Asks Rav Acha. Chai ve kofrim mai. What do we do with the case of a kofer? On the one hand, a kofer has an element of kapara, like chatos v'yasham, but on the other hand, kapara is collected by the Yorshei HaNizak, and in that case, maybe he's not so excited about paying the Yorshei HaNizak. He's not so motivated. And the question now is, do the Yorshim have a right to sue in court that Beis Din take a mashkon to force and compel him to pay the kofer? And now the Gemara analyzes the suffix. Came under kapara hu kechatos v'yorshim domi. Shall we subsume this kapara of Shorosh Ahorga Es Ha'odom under the general category of Chatos V'yoshim of kapara, and therefore Nichmar Chomri Luye, he realizes that in order to redeem his own nefesh, he better pay up V'lo boy mashkon, there's no need to press him by imposing on him a mashkon, I mean taking from him a mashkon. Odilma came into L'chavri U'deboy L'meis V'le, he has to pay it to the Nizak, is, in his mind, it's kind of like Mamona. I mean, we take out the Girsa Mamonahu, but Lo L'Gavohu, he's not paying it to the Beis HaMikdash. Lo Chomer Le Boy Mashkone, it's not so Chomer B'Enov. He doesn't see it as a pure Kapor that's paid to the Mikdash. He sees it as a Chiv Mamon, a kind of Benonim L'Chavero. People tend to think that Benonim L'Mokom is more severe, and we have to be more pious than we do in Benonim L'Chavero Inami, another Svara the Gemara offers, Rav Acha offers. Kaman du lo chata, he didn't get involved in this murder personally, but rather it was his shor that went out and killed someone, is lo chomer milsi luya, in his mind it's not chomer, he doesn't really deserve this harsh punishment of paying a substantial sum as a kofer boy mashkune, we have to therefore take a mashkon. Amalei Rav Nachman stops Rav Acha midway. He says, Shavkan, let me live. Don't ask me any other questions. Istager b'kamaisa. Already with your first question, you were able to silence me, and I don't know the answer to it. Now you're hitting me with the second question. In a minute, you're going to hit me with the third question. I can't take it. According to the Girsi of the Aruch, it's very interesting. Rav Nachman got sick from the question, from the first question. The Rambam, in these two questions that are left besafek, paskins in Perek Yud Milchus Niske Momon, that in the case of Shor Shel Shnei Shutfim, each one pays Nezek Sholem. And he also paskins that in the case of Kofer Mimashkin ala Kofin, the Lechem Mishnah explains that if in general we say the principle of Sofek Momon Lekula, here it's a Sofek Kapora and we have to be Machmir. There are other Achronim who disagree, and they hold that Ein Mishalmin Kofer. And we apply the universal principle of Sofek Momon Lekula. And certainly we wouldn't, therefore, number one, we wouldn't impose a double mashkin on both of them, and we wouldn't apply the din of mamashkinin. And the Ramban in his Pirush al Torah writes on the language im kofer, means im rotze mishalim, ach ein kofin olav. And the Ramban certainly takes this definition of kufra kapora to its logical conclusion, and therefore it's got to come mirtzono to want that kapora, and we're not going to force him in any way to pay up the kapora. But again, the way the Lechem Mishnah understands the Rambam, we will be mamashkin ala kofer, and in case of Shnei Shutfim, we'll require both of them pay a complete kofer. Now, before we had the sugya of Rishus Mishana, especially according to Rabbi Yaakov, Tanur Abonu, we have a brisa. She'olo b'chezkas tam. What's the deal in a case of a shoel? A shoel is responsible for the shor, that's part of his chiyuvei shmira. And he took the shor under the impression, he wasn't told otherwise, that it was a tam, v'nimtza mu'ad. And after the negicha, he finds out that the shor that he received from the bailim was already a shor mu'ad. And there's a toast here. The shoel was not aware of this. He was never notified. So the Brisa paskins in such a case, ba'olim, is going to be a shituf pula, a partnership in the payment of damages for a shor mu'ad. Ba'olim mishalim chatzi nezek. They'll chip in half the nezek. V'shoel mishalim chatzi nezek. Because again, even according to the shoel's misunderstanding and his misimpression that it was a shor tam, he would still have to pay chatzi nezek, because the shmir of a shor tam he did accept upon himself, that's built into the nature of she'elah. Now, the Brisa continues and says that if this shor tam, b'rishus bailov, huad, b'beis shoel, in other words, the shor in the base bailim was only a tam, and then while it was under the rishus, under the supervision of the shoel, it was nogeh three times, it became a muad, v'chziro lebailim, now the shoel returns after he completes his zmanei sheila, he returns the shoel back to its bailim, and the shor now was nogeach, is ba'olim mishalmim chatzi nezek v'shoel potu miklum. In this case, we apply the principle of shini rishus, which returns the shor back to square one, to its original state of tamus, and therefore the bailim will pay only chatzi nezek and not nezek sholeh. The shoel doesn't pay anything because the hezek didn't take place in the rishus of the shoel. And that's obvious. Now, in the resha, when the shor became a shor mu'ad in the rishus of the bailim, and then it was given over to the shoel, we don't say rishus mishana, and it becomes a tam. But here, when we return it from the shoel back to the bailim, where it became a muad in the rishus of the shoel, the bailim are not responsible, so to speak. They're not going to lose out by the muadus that was generated by rishus shoel, and that's called shini rishus mishan. Now, the Gemara analyzes the first din of the brayso. Omar mar Sha'ola b'cheskes tam v'nimtzu mu'ud ba'olim mishalmim chatzi nezek v'shoel chatzi nezek. The Gemara says, v'amai. Why does the shoel have to pay for this negicha of the shor at all? Why does he have to chip in a dime? Lemele, couldn't the shoel have a valid claim against the bailim? Torah she'ili, arya lo she'ili. There's a toz here. I took a shor, and I borrowed it from you. I didn't borrow a lion from you. You know, a shor hamuad is a lion. And I was not aware of the fact that this was a shor hamuad that goes out and damages. I wasn't careful in the shmira because according to my impression, and that's the impression I got, this shor is a lemel, you know, it's just a dasal shor. And therefore you, knowing full well, Mr. Bailim, that this is a shor hamuad, you should have provided the shmira for the shor. Rav says that the reason why the Bailim have to pay only half the nezek and the shoal is chayev chatzi nezek is it's an ukimtoch maeskina shehikir bo shu nagchan, that although the shoal was unaware of the fact that this shar is a muad, he was aware of the fact that it's a nagchan, that it has on occasion acted belligerently and gore and damage. He wasn't aware of the fact that it was already three times, and therefore it's a sharmuad, but he can't pater himself and say, well, I didn't have to be careful about the shmira. He knew that this shar had a certain hergel, a certain regulus of negicha. It's a nagchan. He didn't know that it was a sharmuad. Therefore, he, the shoel, has to participate. If the shoel was unaware completely of any track record of this shor, then enochinami, the bailim, would be the ones who are chayiv, and the shoel would not have to participate chatzi nezek and pay half nezek. So the Gemara asks a kasha now on Rav's understanding of this brisa. V'nemolei, the shoel still has a claim to the bailim. Tam she'ile mu'ad lo she'ile. I wanted to borrow a shor tam. I didn't want to borrow a shor mu'ad. And now I find out, lo and behold, a surprise to me that I didn't acknowledge, that I wasn't aware of, that this shor is a shor mu'ad. I never accepted shmir on a shor mu'ad. And the Gemara defends Rav by saying, Mishum di'omale, the Bailim have a right to counter against the shoel, sof. At the end of the day, even according to your understanding, itam hava is palganizka boy shlume. You still would have to pay chatzi nezek, is hashtanami zil shlim palganizkas, at least even lishitoscha, itam would still have to pay chatzi nezek. So cough up chatzi nezek, you have no tainus ptur on chatzi nezek of a tam, because even if it's not a muad, it's chatzi tam. Oh, so the Gemara asks, v'nemele, but the shoel could say, this seems like a TKO argument, itam ava mishtali migufo. As we've said over and over again, if it's a shor tam, you collect chatzi nezek migufo shel shor, and therefore the hefzid should be the bailim. There's no reason why the collection of shor tam, the liability, the compensation shor tam, should be imposed upon the shoel. Even though, of course, now it's a shor muad, but the shoel claims, I didn't know about it. Nobody told me it was a shor muad. So as far as my understanding is concerned, I didn't have any chiv, because the chiv to compensate the nizak for a goring of a shor tam is a responsibility that falls totally, completely, exclusively on the shoulders of the baal hashor, of the mashil, of the mazik. So the Gemara is pointing out here that we don't really understand why the shoel should have to pay half. And the Gemara answers, Mishum di Amarle, the counter argument against that of the shoel's argument is sof, at lav Torah bois shlumi lididi. even if they would collect the chatzi nezek from the gufo shel shor, nevertheless you would still have to return the shor. And again, you can't return the shor because it's taken for collection by the nezek, but you'd have to return and replace the shor with a different shor, because that's the din of a shoel. A shoel has to return to the bialim either the original shor, or if he can't do so, he's got to replace it with a different shor. So the fact that we you know, you were unaware, and now we discover, or you discover, that the shor is a shor muad, you still have to pay dmei chatzi nezek, and you're not losing anything from the fact that it's a shor muad, because the chiyuv mashar tam you would have, and even if the guf hashor from which the chatzi nezek of tam is collected is taken away by the nizak, but you as a shomer, as a shoel, have responsibility to replace that shor. The Gemara is still not happy with this. V'neimale, and here we turn to daf mem amid beis. Im tam hava modina umefatrina. There's a machlokas, and we've discussed it in the past, where the chatzi nezek is momen or knas. According to that man, the omer that chatzi nezek of shartam is knas, because stam shorim becheskas shimur kaimi. Therefore, the shoal has a right to claim, if you're talking about my chiyuv as a tam, then the halach is modiv knas potur, since chatzi nezek tam is knas. Therefore, I would have been moda, and I would have completely exonerated myself from the tashlum of chatzi nezek. V'afilu mandiomer palgud is kamamona. Even according to that mandiomer, I wouldn't have been potted with a hodah. But namely, still the shoal can argue to the bialim itamhu have a marikna leili agma. I would have, in Hebrew we say, lahavriach, you know, I would have flown it away. I would have hidden it away in an agam. And therefore the goof of the shore is not there for collectability. In other words, where would you collect a chatzi nezek from? Because a shor tam is only mishtale migufo. So once again, you know, it seems like the shoel has all sorts of arguments here, a checkmate where he should be exempt from payment. Ella the Gemara says no. At this point, to say that justify that the shoel has to pay chatzi nezek, even though he didn't know it was a shor muad, we're going to have to introduce an ukimta. Hachem ayaskin and kagon di akdim beidina v'safse. The Bryce is talking about a scenario in which Bezdin grabbed onto the shor, and there was no time, there was no window of opportunity for the shoel to be mavriach, meaning marikne leilagma, to, you know, send away the shor, hide it away. And in that scenario, since the shoel had no possibility of doing so, then there would be collection of chatzi nezek from the guf hashor through the conduit of Beis Din over here. Beis Din is executing this tefis in such a way that guarantees that there will be collection. The nizak will collect his chatzi nezek migufo shel shor, and therefore the shoel becomes chayev to replace that chatzi nezek with a different animal. Ihachi, the Gemara says, if indeed the Braisa is talking about that particular scenario where Beis Din grabbed the shor away from the shoel, is ba'olim amay mishalomim chatzi nezek? Why did the bialim have to pay a chatzi nezek as a result of the fact that it is indeed a shor muad? Nemalei, the bialim could claim and argue against the shoel. Asfaste lisorai biyada, mandalo matzinu lishtaui dino behade. I gave the shor into your hands, and you damaged me by allowing Beis Din to toeface this shor. In other words, you're responsible to make sure that this shor gets back to me in such a way that if I have to pay damages from the shor, I'll be able to do so. And now, because of this hatfosa, this hat, this bezdin, now I can't be omid bedin, I can't get the shor out of the hands of Beis Din, that's your fault. And therefore, I don't understand, says the Gemara, why do the Bialim have to pay chatzi nezek if the shoel is, in a sense, responsible? He is guilty for the fact that there was a tfisa that prevented the Baal, the mashil, from paying his chatzi nezek to the nizak from the gufo shel shor. And the Gemara answers, Mishum de Omer Le, the Shoal says to the Bailim, Iahadrate Nialoch, if I had returned the shor to you, Lav Minochavishkile Shakle Le, wouldn't Beis Din have collected the shor from you? And now, in the present situation that Beis Din was Tofis the shor from my Rishus, I didn't cause you any loss, because in any event, Beis Din would have collected this chov of chatzi nezek migufo shel shor, even if I had returned the shor to you. So the Gemara answers, but wait a minute, I don't understand. The Bailim still has the upper hand here. Namely, they could argue, Ia hadrate niale, havimarikno leli agma. Had you returned the shor to me, I would have quickly hidden the shor, being mavriach the shor, in such a way that Beis Din, number one, would not have been able to be toe-faced the shor, and number two, the nizak would not be able to collect his chatzi nezek from gufo shel shor. So it's really, again, the negligence of the shoel that he did not watch and supervise the shor as he should have, and prevented a tfis of the shor, and therefore the shoel has to pay this hezek to the bailim. And therefore the Bailim should not have to pay even the Chatzi Nezek that they was Mischayev Mishum Muot. The argument of the Baal HaShor here, of the Mashil, is that I could have seen to it, had you returned to me the Shor, that my payment of Chatzi Nezek here, my contribution to this Hezek, would have been collected from the Gufo Shel Shor. So the Gemara answers, Mishum Diomar Le, the Shor says to the Bailim, Sof Sof Lav Me'aliyo Havi Mishtalmei, which means that since a shor muad, the gvir, the collection imposed upon the bailim by Beis Din, is from shor nechosim, it's not limited to the gufo shel shor, to the shor itself, you wouldn't have gained anything if you would have been mavriach to the agam, because all your possessions are mishubadim, are collectible for this liability. So the Gemara asks, "Ha nicha hecha de islei nichsei." This makes sense if the Bailim have other nechasim, and therefore the Shoal's argument is very strong that even if we do away, if we neutralize the shor, the gufa shel shor, put it in the agams, hide it away, nevertheless Beis Din would have collected from other nechasim. But hecha de leslei nichsei, my ikal meimar. What about a situation, a scenario in which the Bailim have no other nechasim? What's the Shoel going to say in that case, when the only possible collection would be from the Gufo Shel Shor, and the Bailim, had they received the Shor, would have hidden away the Shor in such a way that Beis Din would have no place from which they could collect this liability, this compensation, the Chov to the Nizak? And the Gemara answers, Mishum di Omar Le, because the Shoal has a right to say to the Bailim, Ki hecha de mishtabno lididach, hachnami mishtabloch lahaich. Just as I have to return the Shor to you, I also have a responsibility vis-a-vis the Nizak. And I have to pay up the Nizak with this Shor, because a Shor Tam, at least the Tam Shabo, is collectible from the Gufo Shel Shor, and even if we talk about the other 50% that he has to pay, we have here a case of Shibud de Rab Nosson. Mi de Rab Nosson de Sanya Rabbi Nosson Omer Minayin Linoshe Bechaver Mona Vechaver Bechaver Minayin Shemotziyim Mizeh Venosnim Lazeh Talmud Lom Venosan Liasher Oshem Lo. Rabbi Nosson derives from the Pasuk at the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar that the scenario of Shibud Rab Nosson is such that Reuven is demanding payment from Shimon. Shimon owes his money. Let's say Shimon borrowed money from him. But Shimon lent money to someone else. Let's call him Levi. So Levi owes Shimon, and Shimon owes Reuven. And in this case, we could take the money directly from Levi and give it to Reuven, because since Shimon owes Reuven and Levi owes Shimon, therefore Levi has a shiva to Reuven, and that's derived from the pasuk v'nasan la'asher oshem lo, that the gzela should be given to the person who has shaychus to this mammon. In other words, the Torah said it in a more general way. In other words, it wasn't that this person stole money from him and now he's returning the money that he stole. No, there was a shibut to him as a result of the nigzal, and he was chayv mamon to someone else. And so too here, in the case of the shor was mazik, the bailam have to pay to the nizak. The shoel now steps in, and he says he's going to take the shor and pay the nizak. I, the bailam, am going to claim that he should have been mavriach the shor. That's not so, because since there is a chiyuv on the bailam to pay the nizak, the shoel is really in effect guaranteeing the nizak that he collects the chov that the bailam owe him. And that means that he can pay from the shor to the nizak. And the Gemara now continues to explain the Braisa. As having established a logical basis for the psak of the Braisa that the bailam have to pay their share, and that's because they can't claim that the shoel blocked him from being mavriach the shor, because the shoel has a right to pay the nizak directly. Now the Gemara continues the last part of the Braisa, says huad bebeis shoel. If you recall, earlier we discussed this case where the shor was a shor tam given over to the shoel, and in the possession of the shoel, the shor was nogeah three times, was established as a muad. Now the shoel returns the shor to the bailim. Is bailim mishalim chatzinezek? And the reason for that is because of reshus mishana. Of course, the shoel is potter miklum because he's not responsible for the damage once he returned the shor to the bailim. So the Gemara now says the following. I have a question. Sefer Rishus Mishana, this part of the Braisa that exonerates the bailim from paying Nezek Sholim as a muad because of Rishus Mishana, is Reisha Rishus Eina Mishana. What do we do? How do we reconcile this with the Reisha? We didn't say Rishus Mishana in the Reisha. There too there was a Shinui, and the Shor went from the Rishus Bailim into the Rishus Shoel, and the Reisha, the Braisa paskins that half of the Nezek is paid by the Bailim, half by the Shoel, and we definitely give the Nizak rights to Nezek Sholim of Muad. Why not say Rishus Mishana? Om Rab Yochanan Tavra Misha Shana Zo Lo Shana Zo. If there's a steer between the Reish and the Braisa, you'll have to attribute it to two different Shitas of Tanoim. But Rabbi says, no, I can reconcile this stira. I don't have to assume that the Reisha reflects one opinion and the Sefer another. Says Rabbi, the Braisa really reflects one opinion. Umi de Reisha Rishus Eina Mishana Sefer Nami Rishus Eina Mishana. Just as we say that after it was passed from the Yad HaBailim into the Yad, the Rishus of the Shoel, it still remains a Shor Muad, so too in the Sefer we're going to apply that principle of Rishus Eina Mishana. But now you'll ask me, if so, when the Shoel returns the Shor back to the Bailim, why don't they pay Nezek Sholem? Sefer Anitaima, Mishum Di Omer Le, the Bailim have a right to claim and argue to the Shoel, Lav Kol Kaminach, Dimiyadis Le Litoroi. You don't have the power, the control, the koach, to make my Shor into Shor Muad. Maybe the reason why the Shor went ahead and gored is because of you. You know, you didn't behave properly vis-a-vis the shor, and that's because it's not your shor. I would have taken good care of the shor. I know how to raise the shor and pamper it in such a way that it would never become belligerent. And now that the shor is being returned back to the Rishus Bailim, we can assume that the normal behavior pattern of the shor will be reinstated. Rav Papa offers a different reconciliation. Midas Seifa Rishus Mishana, since we saw that when the shoel returns the shor, even though now it's muta, becomes a tam that's called Rishus Mishana, Reisha Nami Rishus Mishana. No, if Reishus Mishus Mishana, why is the shor considered a muad l'nezek shalim in the Rishus of the shoel? Reisha Hainu Taima, the reason why, even though the shor was transferred over to the Rishus of the shoel, we still maintain the status of shor tam. It doesn't go back to becoming a... It still retains the status of shor muad. It doesn't go back to regaining its original state, its natural state as a shor tam. Mishum dechol mokum shaholech shem baalov olov. The shoel is not considered a new bailim. The shoel is the extension of the rishus of the bailim. It's yad shomer ki yad bailim, and therefore once it becomes a muad in the rishus of the bailim, even though it's now being given physically over to the rishus of the shoel, it remains halachically al pidin in the rishus of the mashil of the bailim, and therefore there's no rishus mashani here. It retains its status as a shor muad. You'll ask me, what happens in the case where it became a muad in the rishus of the shoel, and now it goes back to the rishus of the bailim? Why is that called shini rishus? And the answer is, when the shor became muad b'rishus ha-shoel, that's considered a new rishus. Why? Because it was the shoel and his rishus that created and generated the muadus. And now when it goes back to the bailim, that's called shini rishus. The Mishnah concludes by saying that shor ha-tzadon eino chayav misa. And that means that this shor that was trained as a belligerent shor by man, if it kills a human being, it doesn't have to be put, it's not put to death, based on the drush that we had, ki yigach veloshi gichuhu, when others cause it to be nogeach. Iboiluhu, the Gemara has a suffix. What's the status of shor ha'itztadin vis-a-vis the mizbeach? Ma'u legabi mizbeach. The din is that a shor that was nogeach adam, even in situations where it's not subject to stoning, it's pasul lahakrova al gabi mizbeach. And this is going to be derived from a pasuk later on by the Braisa, which we'll soon see. And that's one side in the Gemara, that it's pasul lemizbeach, even though it's not a niskal. Or, the other side, shall we say, that since the negicha was ba'ones, the shor was in no way guilty, it was trained, therefore, it's not only exempt from misa skila, but also it's kosher lakrova. It's considered 100% tzaddik, torah v'kadosh. Rav amar kosher, Shmuel amar posel. Rav amar kosher, anusu. As we said before, the shor is not considered a baal avera in any sense, but Shmuel Amar Apostle Sharei Nevad Bo Avera. This cheftza of a shor, not Petorah's Gavra Hamemis, but the cheftza of the shor was a conduit for the death of someone. And this avera of Ritzicha was done through the medium, if you will, the means of this shor. And such a cheftza should not be, such an animal should not be brought as a carbon on the Mizbeach, according to Shmuel. Meisvei, the Gemara wants to quote a Braisa against Shmuel. The Braisa is based on the Pasuk in Vayikra. At the beginning it says, Mina behema, mina bokor, mina tzon, takrivas karbanchem. And the word min is a mute, which means min, from, but not all. And it says three times min. And that gives me three drushas, all of which are mi'utim. And we go through them one by one. Which karbanos are kosher for the mizbeach? Min habehema. What's that excluding? What is pasul mizbeach? Lahotzi es haroveya ves hanirva. In other words, a shor that had a sodomy relationship with a woman, or a female animal, behemoth, that had a relationship with a man, those are psulim lakrov. Min habakar, again, a mute. Lahotzi es hanevat. We're talking about an animal that was designated for avodah zarah, and it was worshipped. It's Muslim is bech. It can no longer be brought as a korban. Min atzon, lahotzi es hamukta. In other words, even though we're not talking about an animal that was ever actually worshipped, but it was designated for as a sacrifice for avodah zarah, that designation itself passels this animal fakrova legavoha. And finally, min atzon lahotzi es hanogeach, to exclude the case of a shor that gored a person and killed him. And such a shor is pasul lehakrov. That's the Tanakama of this braisa. Amar Rav Shimon im nemar. Once we've already established that a roveh is pasul lekarbon, lama nemar nogeach. Why do we need a special miut to exclude a shor that killed a person? The im nemar nogeach, and once we have an exclusion to disqualify a killer shor from the mizbeach, lomanemat roved, knows both are really the same din. Two witnesses testified that rova hashor, or noga hashor, and bezdin in both cases have to implement the death penalty to the shor. A shor roved is chayev skil, a shor hanogeach is chayev skil if it killed a person. So once you went a step further, and you had one miut to tell you that a shor that's chayiv misa, either b'toras nirva, or rovea, or b'toras nogeach, then we go a step further and we disqualify that shor as a korban for the mizbeach. I don't need two separate miutim to teach me two disqualifications for korban. And the answer is mipnei sheyesh beroveya she'ein benogeach, v'yesh benogeach she'ein beroveya. Each one, roveya and nogeach, has its own chumra. Roveya is chumra because asabo ones kiratzon. In other words, even if the roveya, if the shor, let's say, was raped by a human being against its will, nevertheless, it's still becomes a shor anirva. It's put to death with stoning. Nogeach lo asabo ones kiratzon, which means that in the case of a shor that was trained to kill, that's called an ones. We don't put the shor to death. But yet, on the flip side of it, a nogeach has a chumra that we don't find in roveya. And that is Meshalim Kofar, that the owner of the shor, if the shor was a shor mu'ad and killed a person, has to pay kofar. Roveya eino Meshalim Mesa Kofar. There's no parallel chiv kofar in the case of a roveya. So that's a chumra in the case of nogeach. So now the Gemara makes a diuk in the lashon of Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon says, "Roveya asa ba onus kiratzon, ogech lo asa ba onus kiratzon." L'may hilchasa. What is the case that we're dealing with in the nogeach ba onus scenario? Lav. Aren't we discussing lekarbon? I mean, that's the subject of this brisa. In other words, in a behema nirvas ba'ones, it's psul karbon. In a shor nogeach ba'ones, it's kashal karbon. And that's the chiddush, or the chumra, I should say, of roveal karbon, in contrast to nogeach lekarbon. The chumra of roveah is that osabo onus kirotzon. In the case of nogeach lo osabo onus kirotzon, which means that if the animal is considered onus, it still remains kosher mizbeach, as Rav said it in this akash on Shmuel. Lo, the Gemara says in defense of Shmuel that the distinction that's being made here is not as far as psul karbon, but rather l'ktola. Do we put the animal to death? So in the case of a behema nirvas ba'ones, if the animal in this act of sodomy was a victim of rape, then the chumra here is that the animal is put to death. In the case of shor nogeach ba'ones, for example, the shor ha'itzdin that we spoke about, the shor is not niskal, as we saw in our Mishnah. But once the pasuk tells me that a nogeach is posel hakrova, then that applies even in the case of ones, according to Shmuel, because it was a conduit for the death of a human being, and therefore cannot be used on the mizbeach. Hachinami mistavra, the Gemara says that that's probably what Rav Shimon had in mind. The distinction between roveah and nogeach is as far as Hariga Sabema, but not as far as Psul Krova. The Yamit Lekarbon is Nogeach Lo Osabo Onis Kirotzon. If you tell me that we're talking about a Psul HaKrova, and Reb Shimon wants to explain this Chilik between a Rovea and a Nogeach, we need this special Mir of Min to teach me Minatzon, in this case, Lohotzi es Hanogeach. If not for that special mir of Nogeach, we would not be able to derive the Psul Karbon from the case of Roveah, because of the Chumra of Roveah that doesn't apply to Nogeach. If that's what Reb Shimon had in mind, so then How could it be that Reb Shimon would say that the Chumra is Nogeach Lo Osabo Ones Kirotzon, which seems to indicate that the Torah was not Machmir in the case of Nogeach with regard to Ones and Rotzon? Well, we still don't even have the mute to exclude Nogeach. Lav Ones Dideiksiv, Lav Rotzon Dideiksiv. The Torah didn't say at all what the Psul in Nogeach is for Karbon, not in the case of Onus, not in the case of Ratzon. We don't have the Min to generate and derive that Psul of Karbon in the case of Nogeach. So how could Reb Shimon use this Din to prove something that hasn't been said yet? Elolav Liktola. Now it makes more sense. If we're talking about the Harigas HaBehema, again based on the testimony of the Edim, there already the Torah made a distinction between Ones and Rotzon, as we saw in our Mishnah that Shor HaItzdin is not Nerag because it was Ones. The Torah says Ki Yigach V'lo Shiyagichuhu, and that's the proof, the basis for Reb Shimon's argument that there's a Kula in Nogeach that doesn't apply to Roveah. Namely, that from this Pasuk of Ki Yigach we derive the Kula that a Nogeach of Ones, which is the Shor HaItzdin, is potter from Misa. And that's why we need a special psul, a special mir, I should say, to passel it from the Mizbeach. But if, on the other hand, you're going to tell me that what Rav Shimon had in mind in comparing and contrasting Roveah to Nogeach was in terms of the Psul Karbon, that's very strange, because how can you postulate that comparison and that contrast when you don't even have the Pasuk and the Miut to derive the Psul L'Mizbeach? It would be circular reasoning. The Gemara now continues with Rav Shimon in the Braisa. Omar Mar, Nogeach Meshalim Es HaKofer, Roveah Eino Meshalim Es HaKofer. Nogeach has a Chumra that Roveah does not have, insofar as Nogeach pays Kofer. The Gemara asks, Heichi Dami, what exactly is the case that Rav Shimon said this Chiluk with regard to Kofer? Ilema Derava Vikatla. If we're talking about a situation where, because in the aftermath of Revias Hashor, the woman died, and in that Reb Shimon says that there's no Tashlubi Kofer, I don't understand. Mali Katla Bekarno, Mali Katla Bervia. What difference does it make how the Shor implemented this murder of a human being, whether it did it with his horns or it was a result of a revia? At the end of the day, it was the shah that killed a person. Why shouldn't there be tashlume kofar, that the owner of the shah should pay kofar? V'ele de rava v'lok katla. It was a situation where there was a revia, the woman didn't die, and Reb Shimon wants to know, should there be a tashlume kofar for the revia itself? That itself was also very difficult. Why? Hi delo mishalim kofer mishum delo katlahu. The reason why there's no chi of kofer is because there was no death. As Rav Shimon's comparison between Rovea and Nogeach doesn't seem to be fair, because the fact that the Rovea doesn't pay kofer is simply because the revia itself did not cause the death of any victim. So it's not really a kula in Rovea that it doesn't pay kofar because of the kula in Rovea. It's just that the din of kofar is only chayf harigas adam, and in this case, even though nogeach, and basically you can create a parallel between Rovea and hizik. You know, it's just like a case of a shor that damages a person, and that person, that victim, doesn't die, there's no tashlume kefer, kofer. So too, in the case of Rovea, where the victim of Revia didn't die, there's no chiv kofer. So there's no real fair comparison and contrast here that would allow, justify in Reb Shimon's frame of reference, the extra miut here, for the case of Rovea. Omar Abaye says the olam dirava velo katla. We can go back to that last tukimta, and we're talking about a case where the Rovea, the Shah Rovea, did not kill the woman. She didn't die as a result, but the asyua lebedina v'katluha, they brought the woman into court, testified against her, and she was put to death under the capital crime of revia, because they testified that she did it b'ratzon. And there, there's a scenario in which the shor itself was the gorem, was responsible for the death of this woman once she's condemned for capital punishment. Mao de Tamar, I would have thought. And here we're looking on Daf Mem Aleph Omed Aleph. Kiman de Katla Dummy. We should see the death of the woman in Bezdin as if it was caused by the Shar, and that's like the Negicha Shar that killed its victim, and therefore the Bailam should pay kofar. Kamashma Rab Shimon says that for that we need a special limud to teach us that since the woman didn't die in the Maisa Revia, therefore there's no chiyuv kofer. Rava Omar, he has a different explanation of Rav Shimon. Li olam de Rava v'katla. In truth, she died as a result of the Revia. Uduka kashila, but you asked Mali Ktola, Katla b'karnai, Mali Katla b'Revia. Certainly the owner of the Shar should pay kofer in this case, logically. We have no avamina otherwise, because what difference does it make if it killed its victim with its horns, or it killed its victim through the Maisa Revia? The answer is Keren Kavanosala Hazik. Hi, Kavanosala Nos Atzmohu. In the case of the Shara Rovea, it's not motivated by a belligerent and intention, deliberate desire to kill its victim, but rather it was involved in an act of Hanoah, not l'shem hezek and l'shem killing, and therefore maybe there's no chiyuv of kofar. The mai pligi, what's the yesod of the machloks between Abaye and Rav about how to understand Reb Shimon? And the answer is, they're arguing about regel shedarsal gabi tinok b'chatzara nizak. And this is a sugi that we discussed in the past about an animal that as it's walking through the chatzara nizak, it tramples a person to death. L'Abaye mishalim kofer, l'Rava lo mishalim kofer. Therefore, Abaye says that it's impossible to interpret Rav Shimon the way Rava did, because even in that case where the Shar killed without Kavana Lahazik, nevertheless there would be a Chiyuv Kofar, no less than the case of Regel, which killed its victim by pouncing, by trampling upon it, without any Kavana Larog Lahazik. Rav, on the other hand, holds that according to Rav Shimon, there's a ptur in the Shar of Kofar, in exactly this scenario, where the Shar had no Kavana, because Rava would be of the opinion that in the case of Regel Shedarsa Gavitinik V'chatzar and Nizak, Lo Meshalem Kofar. The sugya ends with Tanya Kavase de Rav. We have a brisa that supports Rav. Shar Ha'itzdedin Eino Chayev Misa V'kosher L'gabi Mizbeach Mipnei Shehu Kima'use. In other words, this Ptur of Ones, says the Brice, which applies to relieve the Shar of its Din Skila, can be applied as well to its Kashrus L'gami Mizbeach. It's an Onus, as we saw in the words of Rav, that since it was Onus, it's not in any way negative, there's no Avera here, it's Kosher, V'yosher, V'tar, V'kadosh, and you can bring it on the Mizbeach. Mr. Shem, tomorrow we'll do the Mishnah on Daf Mem Aleph, Amud Aleph.